Good evening. Welcome to the Salir Report. Today is November 2nd, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join us this evening. Tonight, third quarter wrap-up, our fourth part, Control 101, a discussion with Catherine. I'm going to start with a story, one of my favorites. In 2016, last year, we were having a subscriber lunch at the 21 Club in New York, and I had arranged for Richard Dolan to give the luncheon speech. And if you know Richard, you know he always just exudes confidence and energetic intelligence. And so I was surprised to see him walk into the private dining room. He looked a little bit shaken, which is very unusual for Richard. He'd been working on his new TV series and book on false flags. The TV series is out. I recommend it strongly, and I'm hoping the book will be out by January. Greeting him, I said, "Richard, how are you?" And he thought a minute, and then, being his usual upfront self, said, "The research on false flags has been deeply troubling. I'm struggling for words to express exactly how I feel." And I laughed and said, "Oh, I think I know exactly how you feel. You're feeling like a chicken who's begun to envision the farmer's point of view and to conceptualize the science of livestock management." He was quite taken aback, and he looked at me with surprise, and he said, "Yes, that's exactly it." So I said, when I wrote up the theme, I said it was one of those moments where when you share an insight with a person of great intelligence and integrity and you get a sense that all your loneliness just disappears. It was really very touching. Anyway, when I first decided to do the third quarter wrap-up theme on Control 101, which was a change from what we were planning, which was Go Local, I brainstormed with my outline with the wonderful Robert Duper when I was in the Netherlands for a week. And he insisted, "Look, you've got to come up with an overall framework that makes this really, really simple. You need a top-down way of looking at this that can express the whole subject, because if you get down into the detail, it's, you know, it could take an Encyclopedia Britannica to cover the whole topic." So I wanted to tell that story about Richard because it gives you a very simple framework. There's a farmer, there's a flock of chickens, and then we have something called the art and science of livestock management. And that's really a very simple way of talking about what the control system is all about. If you live in an agricultural community, as I do, it helps to understand human control systems, because once you learn livestock management when it comes to animals, you can see, you know, it helps you understand a lot more about what's going on in the human control systems, because we are, after all, animals and are mammals. And so, you know, there's a lot of parallels between the animal livestock systems and our livestock systems. But it takes a little bit of getting over the unpleasantness of fathoming that the leadership views themselves as farmers and or farmers, the farmer, and we as the chickens. The important thing to understand about our control systems is they're ancient. They've been evolving organically for centuries. So this is complex, this is deep, and involves lots of different aspects. On one hand, a lot of the systems that involve control were not created just for the reason of control. They're systems that were created because that's what civilizations do. They build systems that help them leverage their combined knowledge and infrastructure to lead their daily lives. And so, but the reality is every system that we create is an opportunity for those with the greatest power to build more control into the system and more dependency on the system. So the benefit of each system often comes with a price that relates to control. So we have amazing smartphones that give us access to immense amounts of delightful information and useful information and instant communication, but they also come with mind control, predatory capitalism, and surveillance. So it's a two-edged sword. Throughout history, control has been progressively reinvented in response to the introduction of new technology. I'm always trying to encourage people to read Tim Wu's book, The Master Switch, The Rise and Fall of Information Empires, because what it really shows is from the time that information technologies really exploded, whether it was the telegraph, the telephone, The TV, the radio, what we see is periods of innovation followed by consolidation into one or two monopolies that then further centralize control. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And as that integration happens, we find that the centralizing becomes more powerful. Clearly, with digital technology, that centralization has exploded over the last 20, 30 years. And it's really come to the point where if you look at where it's headed, it raises the question about the very existence of human civilization. I would say that human civilization is now really in question. And that means if we're going to preserve, let alone grow, a human civilization, we must understand the control systems, and we need to understand how to reverse the balance of power. So I said I was going to do the third quarter wrap-up on Go Local, but I changed it to Control 101, and that was because every time I started to deal with the local issues of how do we start to rebuild decentralized power, both financial power and economic power and political power, I ran into the fact that my friends and allies couldn't understand or appreciate the control systems, which meant they were going to keep being controlled. And there was no way to develop with them plans to handle centralized control in practical and economic ways. There was no way to send the system at a local level into progressively more out of control. That meant there's zero chance of success. So I said, okay, let's step back and let's start to get a clear, coherent picture about the control systems, because unless and until we do, we can't make headway in many practical issues. So then I hit another wall, because for my life, my entire lifetime, but certainly for the period from 1995 to 2012, I've been dealing with, just on a personal level, an extraordinary interaction with the covert side of the control systems, the overt side too. But clearly, you know, I've had a lot more experience with the covert than many people that I know and work with. And that gave me a lot of knowledge. The reality is I've been so busy sort of accumulating the knowledge and building and operating a business, whether it's the Solari Report or Solari Investment Advisory, that I've never stopped to sort of process a lot of the knowledge. I've been researching and doing a lot of both research and networking to try and confirm knowledge, enlighten it, expand it, because I don't like to take my knowledge of something just from personal experience. I like to, you know, I'm just one. That's not even a random sample. And so I like to confirm it with other people's experiences and try and find the best sort of knowledge managers and scholars on topics and see how much more they can enlighten my understanding. But the reality is when you learn about covert control and overt control, one of the things you experience is not the violence and cruelty of the farmer. You experience that, but you know, that's part of the business we're in. Instead, what you do is you experience the violence and cruelty of the chickens. Because the great secret of control in any system is, yes, it's highly centralized at the top, but the farmer doesn't do the dirty work. Invariably, the farmer gets and incentivizes the other chickens to do it. I use one of the quotes from The Matrix in my write-up. I love that scene from The Matrix when Morpheus says, "The Matrix is a system, Neo. The system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around. What do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged, and many of them are so inured, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it." This is one of the great truths that I find many people have difficulty facing. You know, we want to blame it on them far, far away. It's all their fault. They're bad. They're corrupt. And the reality is that it's us chickens implementing control in America. I say, you know, the swamp is from sea to shining sea. And the reality is most of us are willing to implement the control whether it's out of ignorance, whether it's out of fear, whether it's out of jealousy, whether it's out of greed, we're willing to do it with surprising ease and for a surprising amount of compensation. That's one of the reasons I struggled to learn how all the money works from a little neighborhood to the top of the planet, is I couldn't understand why would people sell hundreds of millions of equity down the river for pennies? It never made sense. Anyway, the reality is to put together a very high level view of control at a summary level for the third quarter wrap up. It meant I had to process my personal grief that's been accumulated from the pain of thousands and thousands of personal and professional betrayals, all leading back into the control system. And it was really struggling to walk and work through that pain, that really took, I think, made this the hardest of all. But was a very useful exercise to me, because I think the only way we can act in the service of freedom is to compost, one, to face our reality, and then compost our grief. And as we do, we become more coherent and in a better position to act. So who's in control? This comes back to the same thing I'm telling you all the time. The most important unanswered question of our day relates to our governance system. Who runs our governance system on planet Earth? How is that governance system structure organized? What are the goals? What's the consensus reality, the map of the people who lead it? What are the assumptions built into its time and money budgets? Wouldn't I love to see those financial statements? One of the most powerful techniques, control techniques, that the farmer has is that all the knowledge regarding the farmer, the art and science of livestock management, how the farm works, are kept entirely in the dark from the chickens. Each chicken is on a need-to-know basis and educated to be incapable of connecting the dots and putting together a big picture on the farm, the farmer, and the art and science of livestock management. Think about how amazing it is. We live on a planet where we are not allowed to understand how the governance system on our planet works. It's a complete mystery to us. I mean, that's amazing. Even after me spending a lifetime trying to learn how it works, I still can't get up at a blackboard and, you know, I can guess, I can engage in what that wonderful Joseph Farrell would call high-octane speculation, but I couldn't go into a court of law and prove what the organizational system really looks like. It reminds me of one fellow who had claimed that he had spent time with aliens, the Andromedan, said one of their questions for him is, why do you have to pay taxes on the planet on which you were born? Good question. After all, if we print paper, we can, we don't need to pay taxes. Anyway, but if you look at this kind of ignorance, it causes incredible misunderstandings. It causes incredible pain. And I think it's baffling that we tolerate this situation. I've always wanted to know and said, well, you can't find, it's like a symphony orchestra playing in the dark or bumper cars driving around in the dark. It can't ever work. You need to turn on the lights. So I think the first step, though, is to face the fact we don't know and we need to know. And the second step is to have the faith that enough of us can work together with a positive vision of a human civilization and a human future, sufficient so that we can figure it out. I think if enough smart people go at this, we can indeed figure it out. Okay, one of my first points about the control system, you know, so we have this invisible governance system. I always nickname the people running it as Mr. Global, just as a metaphor to hold the space. And so we have this governance system. The important thing you need to know is this governance system operates and controls by force. Force is the beginning and the end of how it controls. Force is the bedrock. We have to get that clear and through our minds. All control systems on our planet begin and end with force. Force is the ultimate enforcement mechanism. The people who control do so because they can kill with impunity. That means they can kill without regard to the law. There is no accountability under our laws when they kill. It's really important that we break through the trance and get clear about this. In the Western world, force rarely shows its face. It's always better to use financial and legal and political systems to do the dirty work. Oh, it's really complicated. Then there's disinformation, fake news, fake science, fake history, and our good friend mind control, which is getting stronger every day. There are an endless number of visible and invisible systems used to achieve control these days. The effectiveness of all these systems depends on the ability to maintain physical force and control. So while the percentage of control systems that are depended on by the governance system, you know, and percentage terms are less than in medieval times, force is as critical as ever as the bedrock that keeps all the control systems working. Now, this is why they call it the central banking warfare model, because the central banks print paper and the military expenditures globally over $1 trillion a year, now going to be $700 million in the overt U.S. budget, doesn't even count the covert. It takes war to make it work. The central bankers print money out of the thin air and then exchange it for real labor and real natural resources. Why would you exchange your labor and natural resources for something printed out of thin air? Well, it's because ultimately the people at the top of that exchange have a gun pointed at their head. And I'm baffled that many Americans just don't understand this fact. And that's because we've been dealing with the velvet glove, the iron fist and the velvet glove for so long, and the iron fist is now deep in our subconscious. Now, it'll come out if you do something that threatens someone's safety, they'll suddenly snap at you like somebody who knows how dangerous it is. But I'll never forget being on a panel with a very intelligent, wonderful activist who started to make very denigrating comments about gun nuts, of which I'm one. And I turned to her and I said, I guess you don't want your Social Security, knowing full well it's an important source of her income. She sneered at me. The two issues have nothing to do with each other. She couldn't fathom that the American people, if American people gave up their guns, the chances that the political system would abrogate their contracts to them would be increased significantly. And that includes relieving them of their property. If I'm right about Northern California, look what just happened. So now here's what's interesting. If you travel outside the G7 nations or spend time with immigrants, they are much more conscious of the role of force in the control system. One of my favorite quotes is from Samuel Huntington, who said, "The West won the world not by the superiority of its ideas or values or religion, to which a few members of other civilizations were converted, but rather by its superiority in applying organized violence. Westerners often forget this fact. Non-Westerners never do." That's Samuel P. Huntington. I've talked off and on over the last year about an excellent book on the African slave trade, called The Half Has Never Been Told. And one of the things it described was the systematic application of whipping and violence to create steadily increasing amounts of productivity in the African-American slave population in the cotton plantations. It's one of the juggernauts that built the first big pools of capital here in the United States. And it's very much worth understanding. Sometimes I think the slow burn is sort of a digital high-tech equivalent of the whipping machine. It's a chilling comparison to make if you are interested in reading the book. The review is up on the website. I tell a story in my write-up of the Control 101 theme about it. One of my many interactions with violence when I was in high school. And it was interesting because of where I grew up and how I grew up. I had a very strong appreciation for the thin veil that lies between us and the physical force used to control us. And at a very young age, I would sort of do everything I could to anticipate violence and patterns. Anyway, I tell the story in the write-up, and you might want to check it out and take a look. But it's one of many times in my life that I've been able to stay alive despite physical threats, and that's because I can understand and see force around me. Clearly, there's an advantage to having grown up in a rough neighborhood, given the times we're in and where we're headed. But I think that's a talent that I would love for all of you to or a skill that I would love for all of you to nurture and develop at this time, because we're going to, you know, we're in a change and we're going to need it. If you look at how our governance system works, the establishment can and has assassinated the president in broad daylight. When the establishment wants to go to war, they can and will engineer a false flag event killing thousands of Americans. When the establishment wants gun control, they can and will engineer a series of school shootings across the United States. When the establishment wants a war on drug or a war on terror, they can create the phenomena necessary to justify it. If you look at recent headlines, you know, that's getting more than very expensive. Control starts with hardware, not software. We've been in a world where people think of power as coming from software. We've been in a software-driven world. Control starts with hardware because we're back to the physical material world. As I said, it's grounded in the ability to kill and control our physical world. The global reserve currency, one of the greatest control tools ever created, is controlled by the people who control the physical flows of information and trade, analog, not digital. They control the sea lanes and the cables at the ocean's bottom. They control the satellites and drones that fly above them. They control the physical force or the means to produce the physical force necessary to protect and maintain these hard assets. This control gives them the ability to apply financial sanctions to the countries that depend on access to those trade flows. One of the reasons that force can be very difficult to see these days is there are many ways of delivering it that are more or less invisible. So something called a slow kill, which can be done with electronic weaponry, can be engineered to look like a nervous breakdown or disease. You know, the weaponry works through the electronic waves. You can't see it. And, you know, and there you go. And so it looks like something is happening to the person, which is part of their problem or their fault or their inability to handle, or simply they're getting sick, their inability to handle the stress. Assassinations can be made to look like suicides or bicycle and skiing accidents or car and plane crashes, and it often happens. But I'm beating this drum because I want you to get this simple but very profound truth into your spirit. Control depends on physical force. You need to see the iron fist in the velvet glove. One of the reasons is the velvet glove is coming off. We've seen scores of bankers, natural health practitioners, doctors who are curing cancer with natural methods are, we've seen a lot of deaths in the last couple of years. We've seen ongoing false flag events. We've seen a congressman being shot by quote-unquote lone nuts while playing baseball. And if the recent fires in Northern California were not wild, which it looks like they might not have been, but engineered, or the recent hurricanes were steered, and I believe hurricanes can be, we may be facing a domestic Phoenix program. If you don't know what the Phoenix program is, look it up. That means the beatdown, as the African Americans used to call it, is no longer just in minority neighborhoods. Another reason I want you to understand the role of control and the importance of control is we're approaching an inflection point. If we don't restore our behavior, our finances, and our society back to the rule of law, we are going to head into a new phase that will jeopardize, if not tear up, basic individual and property rights. And that's going to lead us back into mind control, slavery, and other very inhuman practices. Sovereign governments are losing their monopoly on force within a place. That means you and I can be subject to physical force to take our property or our lives, and it can be applied by multiple private parties, and we have no one to look for to help. This is the case despite paying a significant amount of tax money for the kind of enforcement capacity that's supposed to be protecting us, and yet increasingly it can't or it won't. So, if we pay a significant amount of money for quote-unquote protection and instead are subject to lawlessness and criminality by multiple parties and indeed are financing our government to use that money to target and control us, it's simply a matter of time until we fail. We're basically financing and operating a system. We're financing a system which is rigged against us. And if you finance your enemy, you know where that leads. So if we do nothing, we're headed over the abyss. If we want to avoid heading over the abyss, then we've got to deal with the real governance structure and the force that controls it. When your governance system does not have integrity, then it's a fait accompli that your financial system will not have integrity, and it's a fait accompli your information system will not have integrity. So you and I have to deal with a fundamental integrity issue, which means we have to deal with the force that maintains it and enforces the government system of fundamental absence of integrity. So until and unless we are willing to look at the force, to understand it, and develop strategies to circumvent it so that we can move this thing back towards the law, we're going to spend an incredible amount of time at quote-unquote solutions that don't work or, if anything, help the centralizers. I sat at the Nexus conference listening to many, many people talk about how their cryptocurrencies were going to expand freedom, and they were fundamentally clueless about the integrity issues and the fact that you can't solve a governance problem of a governance structure implemented by force with a financial product. Ain't going to work. Okay, the second feature about control that I want to talk about is that control is intimate. There are many control systems. We could read books all day long about all the different control systems, control files, covert operations, surveillance, mind control. However, until you can see how control flows into your life, how it works, how it organizes and impacts your spending, your investment of time and money, your associations, until you can understand that and see it in the history of your life, of your family's life, of your neighborhood's life, and the current flow of events and sort of accelerating change around you, until you can see control in all the forms that it touches and impacts you, you will never see the control systems. You need to see it at an intimate level, because at an intimate level is where you can get your power to start shifting the levers to remove yourself from control in a way that helps you, and helps you do it in a way that helps the others around you. I'll never forget when the first book about economic hitmen came out. It was this true confession about events long ago and far away. And, of course, it did nothing that would hiccup or change current transactions. And it delivered this ultimate limited modified hangout that made everybody feel really good. Oh, you know, we didn't mean harm. It just got out of control. And that was solace to the Americans who all wanted to enjoy the benefits of the global reserve currency without feeling bad about ourselves. Now, I was writing about what was going on in American communities and the lawlessness, the genocide, the drugs, the prisons. No one would look at it. They were too busy saying, oh, it's so terrible what the American machinery is doing in these places far, far away. It was almost as though their social prestige depended on it being far, far away. And literally, they didn't want to look at it in American communities. But the reality is, our own children were being drugged or addicted or engaging in social abuse or involved in covert operations in our own neighborhoods, and helping send cheap capital to Silicon Valley, Hollywood, Wall Street, Washington, while we're all moaning about, oh, it's so terrible what's going on in these villages far, far away. And you started to realize, oh, you know, this is a form of escapism. It's a form of entertainment. It's a form of denial. One of the most important reversals to understand about freedom right now is the invasion of people's home. There's a concept in our society that a man's home is his castle. We're seeing a significant assault on property rights, personal safety, privacy. This includes police powers of seizure, home invasions, seizures and searches without warrants, targeting of people in their home with non-lethal weapons, forced fluoride in the water systems, surveillance through the phone, TV, appliance, smart meters, assertion of eminent domain. That's not to mention the predatory mortgage lending and violence related to the war on terrorism, war on drugs, and all sorts of covert operations. I could go on, but you're literally turning your it's really turning your home on a non-voluntary basis, on a mandatory basis, into sort of a mind-controlled and surveillance box. And it's one of the most frightening aspects of the competition by every cartel in the world to get deeper into your data and deeper into your life, including your home. And it was interesting, when I settled my litigation with the federal government, I brought an extremely small, modest home. I set it up as an office base camp for a more nomadic life. And the reality is I wanted to be prepared to move if I had to, because in a lawless culture, who knows who knows where you need to be and where you want to go. And I didn't want to be controlled by my dependency on a big, expensive house. Okay, third point I want to make about control. So control is the bedrock foundation of control is force. Control happens at a very intimate level. Third point, control is a war for your mind. Now, I said control rests on physical force, but physical force is not an effective control technique. Force is expensive. It spooks the herd. It inspires vengeance. The most effective and economic control system is mind control. Now, it wasn't that way 100 years ago, but mind control has come a long way in the last 100 years. Mind control is a toolkit of practices and technology, many of which are quite old. One of the ancient practices was hypnosis that was brought over by the Templars during the Crusades from the Assassins in the Middle East. And as a result, criminal hypnosis has been practiced for centuries in the West by the secret societies as one of the most important secret technologies that maintained their power. Mind control technology and research blossomed with the Nazis during World War II. And that research and technology and some of the scientists was imported into the United States after the war through an operation called Operation Paperclip. And that capacity was married with essentially infinite amounts of open-ended government checkbook funding for research and application and testing through major research universities, hospitals, and corporations. And it was supplemented by funding from some of the most prestigious U.S. foundations, not including the Rockefeller Foundation. Combined with the innovation in digital technology, electronics, communication, other technological developments, the result has literally been an explosion of mind control technologies that can be delivered on an individual and community basis at very low cost. And if you combine that with unlimited secret government and corporate funding, we have built up a very significant infrastructure to manage multiple mind control systems that can be economically delivered to both individuals and groups. So whether the smartphone, the TV, the internet, pharmaceutical drugs, or other delivery mechanisms, we have multiple ways of entraining people and reading and managing their thoughts and actions. And even now, I keep talking about the Kingsman technology, the population canon is being weaponized. The reality is there are two kinds of people in the Western world, people who've been mind controlled and know it, and people who've been mind controlled and don't know it. And if you want to live a free and inspired life, you need to understand mind control and take steps to protect yourself from it. And so if you want to fix it, first you got to face it. Now, we have a lot of materials on mind control. We've done the interview on entrainment with Adam Trombley, which was sort of the first big one. I have a Solera report I did before that on mind control. We've had a lot of movies on mind control, and in my movies with Jay Dyer and with John Rappaport, Solera reports on Let's Go to the Movies involving, among other things, mind control. We talk a lot about that. And for the last 2 years, Jason Worth and I have been writing book reviews, looking for books that help people understand how mind control is used to create addictions, addictions to consumer shopping, addictions to video games, addictions to pornography, addictions to gambling. Many, many of the addictions that we have are intentionally developed and created using these kinds of technologies. And there are many, many sort of reviews that we've done up on the website that can help. But I want you to dive in. next week, we're going to be interviewing Melissa and Aaron Dykes, who at True Stream Media have done incredible work on mind control. And I have been posting their videos, and I'm going to continue to post it because this is an area which is so very important to me. Because if you have your own mind, then you can navigate the road ahead. If you don't control your own mind, you're going to be at a severe disadvantage and working, I assure you, for Mr. Global. Okay, the next feature of control I want to touch on is that control is also a war for your pocketbook. Mind control is now number one, but it wasn't long ago that the financial system and the economic system was arguably the greatest, most effective, powerful control system. And there's no doubt about it that when you can combine mind control technology with economic and financial control, you're really turbocharging control. And it's a lot of what we see today because the controls, the carrots and sticks that the economic control can deliver is extraordinary. And the ability of using entrainment technology and subliminal programming to harvest your time and your money is just off the charts. So, and the reality is when you have all of these different kinds of technologies overlapping and working together, that's how you can end up with a financial and economic system that can be run significantly outside the law for long periods of time, and people literally not be consciously aware of it. I tell the story that I, in my write-up, I repeat the story that I wrote up in Dylan Reed and Aristocracy of Stock Profits about the president of the CalPERS pension fund explaining to me that they were moving all the money out of the country starting in the fall, which meant that as he was buying mortgage securities for the next 10 years, he understood that it was a bubble and ultimately it would crash. Clearly not operating in the fiduciary best interests of the pension benefit. You know, it's clearly operating fundamentally outside the law. And part of what was happening was all the money had started to go missing that same time at HUD and DOD. Thanks to Dr. Mark Skidmore, what we now know is that number just for those two agencies is up to $21 trillion. Well, you're talking from fiscal 1998 forward, so basically we're coming into 20 years of operating the federal accounts significantly outside the law, including all the different subterfuges they claim they've created to operate outside the law. This is completely very far outside the law. And to imagine to get all thousands of bureaucrats, all the different banks involved, all the different contractors involved to operate that significantly outside of the law, that is a feat that requires enormous and very effective control systems. If there's anything that proves how powerful the control systems is, it's that $21 trillion. The next feature I want to talk about control is how complex it is. There are numerous complex control systems and techniques. As I said, a lot of control built into all the different systems that a civilization uses. John Rappaport has some great descriptions about the many different cartels and players all competing and collaborating to create an edge by creating a monopoly or by implementing greater control. So in a centralizing system with great power at the top, everybody's competing to deliver more and more control upstairs and to implement more and more monopolies. And so you can see, particularly over the centuries and as new technology facilitates it, how control becomes embedded and developed in everything. I've made two lists of all the different systems. One, in alphabetical order, and then I redid it in the order of importance. So I'm going to read it to you now from the ordering in order of importance. Number one, mind control. Number two, media and fake news. Number three, a weaponized population. Number four, technology. Number five, intelligence and surveillance. Number six, entrainment. And number seven, pharmaceutical drugs. Number eight, secret societies and tribal networks. Now notice how all eight have been essentially, weaponized population gets into violence, but have been sort of are systems that operate relatively subtly or invisibly and don't appear to be concretely violent. Okay, let me keep going. 9, space. 10, secrecy. 11, sex. 12, judicial, legal, and regulatory. 13, assassination. Okay, here we get into the bedrock foundation of force. 14, atmosphere. 15, financial and economic. There's a part of the document where I go into the breakout of what all is in financial and economic, because there are many important pieces there. 16, military. 17, home. 18, control files. 19, covert operations. 20 is patents and intellectual property. 21, religion. 22, science. 23, electronics. 24, taxation. 25, shunning. 26, infrastructure. 27, transportation. 28, torture and targeting. 29, food. 30, war. 31, energy. 32, water. 33, narcotics and narcotic drugs as opposed to pharmaceutical drugs. 34, weather and disaster manipulation. 35, disinformation. 36, enforcement. 37, family. 38, fake history. 39, chemicals. 40, criminal enterprise. 41, culture and consciousness. 42, false flags. 43, philanthropy. 44, soil. 45, vote and poll rigging. 46, education. 47, commodities. Now, clearly, many of these systems are overlapping, and in fact, a lot of the control systems work together. So the more one individual group or cartel controls, you know, the more of these systems that a cartel can control, the more they can combine them to just turbocharge control in a near infinite variety of ways. I started to, when I wrote up Control 101, I started to put sections in each part describing the Saleri reports and the in the libraries, and then the commentaries on the website that we've written, and I started to realize, oh, I'm reorganizing our entire libraries into this theme, because if you look at everything we've written or done on the Saleri report, a lot of it is about either how these control systems work or how the control systems are organized to harvest you economically. And so the reality is all of our libraries are about this stuff. It threads throughout anything. So I would really encourage you to start to dive into the libraries and take advantages of what's there. The other thing I wanted to mention is I've been working with a team who have produced the Secret Space Conferences, and they're preparing an online series, which we're going to be partnering up with them, called Out of Control, to explore these different control systems and how we overcome and change them. So stay tuned. There's more coming. This is an area I'm going to keep working on, this because it is absolutely important to me that you are develop very powerful immune systems to protect yourself from control and to protect yourself from being harvested economically by those control systems. Okay, so let's start to turn to solutions, because I think most people on the Saleri report, with a little bit of work, can get a very good high-level overview of how control works. So the foundation of control is force. Control operates at an intimate level. Control is a war for your mind. You've got to beat mind control. Control is a war for your pocketbook. You have to protect your time and money. And control is complex. It's not easy or simple to learn every detail of these systems. But if you start on a learning journey and you do it in a way that you enjoy, it can make you much more powerful. So let's turn to solutions. I want to start off and say first that power and freedom are inside jobs. You can, and as John Cage, the musician, says, begin anywhere. So you are the only person who can make yourself free. For most people, it's not easy to do because the first step requires coming up with a way to generate an income that does not contribute to controlling or harming other people. You've got to find a way to generate an income that helps other people, is useful to other people, and if anything, helps them move out of control and become freer. Now, once you get the economics worked out, every person's pathway is unique. Every person has a divine purpose for their life, and that vision is what sets the pathway. And the practicalities depend very much on your particular situation and responsibilities, including family responsibilities. So the practicalities of changing your attention, your time and money every day and every week, that is unique to you. And again, you have to organize that journey in a way where you enjoy that journey, because joy and love is where we get a lot of our power. But let me talk about some of the areas that I think are of strategic importance and I recommend you address. The first thing is prayer and mind. So I believe at the root of what we're dealing with, we are experiencing spiritual warfare. And so the greatest insight that you as a person can access is through your own time in prayer. Now, I was talking about this to one of my favorite allies. They were saying, can't you find a more non-denominational way to say this? And I said, no, I really can't. But I'm not encouraging you to adopt my spiritual practice. I encourage you to do it in your own way, in your own time. I don't feel led to, I'm not into missionary work here, and I'm not into persuading you to do what I do or how I do it. But one of the things I know is that if you look at all the powers arrayed in the material world, there's only one power greater that can change them. And if you want to access that power, you've got to go to the divine. You've also got to shift your consciousness. It's something that I work at every day. I could do a lot better. We could all do a lot better. The reality is human beings have the ability with our minds and consciousness to shift our reality. And that's why it's very, very important that we use our minds and our consciousness to do whatever we can do to invent our way into a human future. Literally, if we want a human future, we have to change our mind. We have to shift our consciousness. And part of helping us do that is to access divine intelligence and power. It's funny, when I was saying to my ally, I said, no, you know, everybody can interpret, you know, reinterpret these things into their own words and their own practice. They're very intelligent. They know how to do it. And he said, well, the one thing I will say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. One of the things that you discover upon dealing with force, you know, there's a great Leonard Cohen line when he says about Jesus, only drowning men can see him. But I first came to understand the power of divine intelligence because I had to call upon it when people were killing me and there was nothing I could do to defend myself except call on spiritual powers. And sure enough, they showed up. It was amazing. But, you know, it was terrible because I got to depend on miracles. But what I will tell you is there's power to be accessed there. It's greater than any material power in the world. You certainly need it. And if anything, our society is headed into multiple foxholes. So it's there if you want it. It's power that can be accessed. I have a favorite story from Carl Jung that I've told many times, so I'm not going to repeat it here, but I wrote it up and put it in our written description under Control 101 on the website, and you can read it there. But it's basically about a woman who murdered her best friend, got away with it, and then proceeded to discover that all the living things, people and animals around her, basically hated her. And the consequence of murdering her best friend is she'd murdered her own soul and had become basically shunned by society. But it's a reminder of what's happened to the United States. We have a great deal to come clean about, and we can't access the full power of divine intelligence until we reverse that by coming clean. I have a great article called Coming Clean, which you can access. Just do a search for it on the website. And it goes through a step process about how each one of us can come clean. Now, part of that is we're experiencing a debasement of our culture. And so we have the ability to reverse that debasement in our own lives. And so that's part of literally changing our minds and doing everything we can to move to and remain in a higher mind. I'm always reminded of one of my favorite moments on the Slayer Report when I was speaking with Dr. Gwen Scott, and I was struggling with her information about the impact that global spraying was having on her health. And after speaking with her, I decided we're not going to talk about the impact on our health. We're going to reorganize the information into the 10 action steps you can take to protect yourself from global spraying. And she listened very carefully as I sort of read her the outline, and she said, "Well, dear, you forgot the most important one. You forgot grace. If you look at what's going on, we should all be dead, but we're not. So something else is happening." Anyway, it was very funny. But when, you know, whether you're accessing divine intelligence and power or trying to uplift your culture and our general culture, grace is indeed happening all around us. And I think it's very important to access that. Okay. So prayer and mind is sort of action area number one. Transparency is action area number two. This is something I talk a lot about on the Solaire Report. Obviously, the Solaire Report was created to provide transparency. So I tell my favorite story about the evolution of cooperation and the work of Dr. Robert Axelrod to talk about the role of transparency in creating a society where basically peace makes more money than war, is my way of saying it. And so it's in the Control 101 theme if you want to read it. But it's, I think transparency is a very important step. We need to be able to see what's going on. One of the things that concerns me, if you look at all the systems used to control, what you'll see is many of them are designed to manipulate our databases. Secrecy, fake news, fake science, fake history. The list goes on and on. In essence, mind control, I think, is the farmer's plan to jump the curve on to be transparency. So if they can't control the databases, they'll control the processor. So fake news, fake science, fake history, secrecy, all these things control and manipulate the databases. Mind control, now you're talking about controlling the processor. So in case the manipulation of the databases won't work, you've got the processor. Just in case, control both, and you'll definitely have it nailed. Okay, so prayer and mind, transparency, now responsibility. You are responsible for you. It all starts with you. You know that already, which is why you're listening to this or reading Control 101. This is something you're all going to have to do, and the people who will make great headway are the people who take great responsibility. After responsibility comes integrity. Once you take responsibility, you have to be absolutely ruthless about who you associate with. In this kind of environment, so increasing lawlessness, increasing corruption, many things are changing at once, a lot of disruption. Then you have to associate to the extent possible with people who have integrity. That means they're both competent and they're moral. So make sure you also encourage your friends and associates to do the same. All it takes is for one incompetent or untrustworthy person to cause a significant drain on your time and energy. Every time I think I finally got things operating at a high enough, you know, a real Six Sigma level of integrity, boom, I get hiccup, because through the chain, one of my associates who has very high integrity was helping someone in their family or took a chance on someone, and boom, we all get hiccuped. So I often talk about my favorite Bible story, the story of Gideon, and I posted in our written description the excerpt from the 2016 Christmas prayer book where I tell a little bit about the story of Gideon. But essentially, what Gideon says is, you know, you don't need a lot of people. You just need people who are faithful and people who are competent, both. And then the divine intelligence can work through people who have both qualities. And Gideon's army was 300. It threw the Midianites out of Israel. Part of it was the Midianites were so hateful and distrustful of each other, they broke down and killed each other. But essentially, the message is the divine intelligence can be drawn in by 300 faithful, competent people working together. And so it's unbelievably important to build that field that has real power, that has real light and vibration and can make miracles happen. You need that commitment to very high integrity. I'm always shocked when someone says that they're still banking at a bank that has committed massive frauds over the last 10 years. And I think, don't you know the signal they're sending? There's all these wonderful banks who've been hardworking and honest, and basically the signal you're sending is crime that pays is crime that stays. I'm happy to bank at a bank that engages in crime against its customers. Now, why in the world do they and their money, why did they think they're safe? Why did they think their money's safe? Why do they think their data's safe? I mean, good heavens, look at the banks taking your data and your accounts and basically engaging in identity theft of your money and your data. It's frightening. It can destroy your credit. So, you know, I've often wondered if that's just the mind control, but the reality is get the criminals out of your pocketbook, get them out of your mind, get them out of your life. Again, the theme is coming clean. Go look at the Coming Clean article, but you've got to get the corruption out of your system if you're going to build. Think of this as a massive detox. You're just detoxing the criminals out of every aspect of your life. The other thing you have to do is if you look at the population, it's basically splitting between the people who are willing to deal with reality and want to make real changes and the people who aren't. And it's very important that you focus your time and associations on the people who are eager to understand what is happening and help you take effective action. And the world is changing. You don't have time to bring along people who don't want to come. And so you need to focus your attention and association as much as possible on people who do. Then one of the last techniques I want to talk about is shunning. Shunning is an unbelievably powerful tool. The establishment uses it with great success. We can too. And I tell a couple of stories in the write-up on Control 101 that you that are really helpful to understanding the dynamics here. I'll never forget my, you know, I'm a big believer in shunning. When the 2008 sort of events unfolded, I was a former alumni of Goldman Sachs. I'd worked there as a summer, and I used to get free research products. And I wrote them a letter, and I said, I want nothing for free from you. I want no connection, energetic, business, otherwise, you're out, and wrote a big commentary about it. And imagine if thousands of people had done the same. Wow. Finally, enforce the law. We talked about this in the second quarter wrap-up with lots of detail, lots of facts. We just put our letter to the state legislatures up on the website to make it easier for you to access and write your state legislature. We have to enforce the law. And by the law, I mean in the United States, the important provisions of the U.S. Constitution. In other countries, any law related to fundamental human and individual and property rights that you have. I cannot stress this enough. Joseph and I, in our discussion of news trends and stories, talk about this in detail, and I really encourage you to read that. But we have to enforce the laws. Again, we're coming into an inflection point, and our big problem is we are financing these control systems. We are financing it with our communication, you know, our telco bills. We are financing it with our state and local and federal taxes. All these different large organizations, whether it's private corporations or public governments who are also pouring money into the private corporations, all the guys who are doing it is we're financing them. We have to turn off the spigot. If you finance people to control and destroy you, you will be controlled and destroyed. And that's the question we have to grapple with, each in our own way, each in our own communities. How are we going to enforce the law? Because I'm telling you, we're coming into an inflection point. And so my conclusion here is if you understand the control systems and you understand where they're going, you know, the future presents two pathways. We can slip into mind control, which I believe leads to a form of slavery between AI and software. You know, the this this, Jason Bodensmith calls them the silly boys, the folks in Silicon Valley, are literally planning on replacing 100% of the jobs with AI and software. And if you think things are out of control now, what do you see when AI completely takes over? So we can slip into mind control, and which is going to lead to one or another form of slavery, or we can figure out how to shift outside of mind control. All it's going to take is about 5 or 10%. We don't need everybody. Don't worry about everybody. Just worry about the people who are ready to jump the curve here. And we need to be able in this environment to maintain our connection to divine intelligence and to resonate with all living things. When you're not in prayer, go hug a tree, really. Take your shoes off, put your feet on the ground. Go sit and talk to a cow. It does marvelous things for me. Anyway, our situation reminds me very much of a quote from an Australian Aboriginal woman. Australia is on my mind because we're working on our incredible trip down to Ayers Rock and Uluru in May of 2018 with Richard Dolan and Jason Bodensmith. We just did an incredible brochure. It's up on the website. You can check it out if you're interested. But I keep seeing pictures of Uluru, and Uluru is on my mind. Anyway, there's a greeting from an Australian Aboriginal woman that I've always loved. If you're coming to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you've come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for the third quarter wrap-up. I hope you enjoyed News Trends and Stories and our equity overview with a great rambus, Chartology, and now Control 101. If you go to our web presentation, we're still in the process of putting everything up, but we'll have a written description of Control 101. We pulled out of Let's Go to the Movies some great selections from Let's Go to the Movies on those movies that really inform the control system. If you want to understand the control system, boy, there's so much there. So we put up a special Control 101, Let's Go to the Movies. And then Jason Worth, a wonderful author who's been writing book reviews for us. I was talking with him about 6 weeks ago, and I told him about struggling with how to describe the basic overview of control systems. And so he decided to send me his musings on Control 101 and sent absolutely a fantastic piece. And I called him and said, Jason, can we publish this? And so we will have that up as well. So you'll have Control 101, Control 101, Let's Go to the Movies, and then Jason Worth's musings on Control 101. And of course, it all dovetails with great conversations with Dr. Farrell on News Trends and Stories, and talking about the importance of enforcing the Constitution and enforcing the law. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on the third quarter wrap-up. Next quarter, our big annual wrap-up, very big deal here at the Salier Report. We're going to be looking at the pension fund system, a major topic. In 2016, when I interviewed Don Cox, he said, after the election, number one issue is going to be pension funds don't have the money to meet their obligations. What are we going to do? So big focus in the annual wrap-up. And then my plan for first quarter wrap-up is space-based economy. So a lot to look forward to. Now, interestingly enough, even though we finished our work on third quarter wrap-up on Control 101, I expect the conversation to keep going on. As I said, we're going to have Melissa and Aaron Dykes next week, talking about the war for your mind. They've been doing great work. I've been publishing their videos, and I recommend Truth Stream Media to you. They have a real focus on this topic, and they're working on a documentary I'm hoping is going to be out and available soon. We all need it. At the same time, I expect a lot of feedback from you on, you forgot this control system. What about this control system? And so I see this as something our network is going to be working on, helping each other get more and more knowledgeable about and get more and more clear about and more free. So please post all thoughts you have on how we can make this knowledge and information even better and more useful for you, because our aim is, the result we're looking for is you have a free and inspired life. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on the Solari Report. Have a wonderful evening.